Radio News Corps reports.
We have selected several news items disseminated by the Project on Government Secrecy of the Federation of American Scientists through their bulletin, Secrecy News.
The FAS Project on Government Secrecy works to challenge unwarranted secrecy and promote reform of national security information, policy, and practice.
This information shows the latest developments on the administration's secrecy policy and how the public's right to know is being impaired.
This is especially so in the post-9/11 world, and is taking place in the framework of what is being known as a state of exception, in the sense put forward by the German theorist Carl Schmitt.
The Central Intelligence Agency conducted a review of its operational files last year, as it is required to do every 10 years under the CIA Information Act of 1984, to see if any such files could have their operational designation rescinded, making them subject to Freedom of Information Act requests.
The CIA Information Act authorizes operational files from certain CIA components, the Director of Operations, the Director of Science and Technology, and the Director of Administration, Office of Security, now the Office of Personnel Security, and the Office of Security Operations, to be designated by the Director of Central Intelligence as exempt from the search and review requirements of the Freedom of Information Act.
But instead of removing any files from operational status as contemplated by the 1984 Act, the CIA has added nearly 24 new categories of files that will now be exempt from search and review under the FOIA, according to a newly disclosed report to Congress.
Remarkably, the CIA reports to Congress misstated the requirements of the 1984 law. The CIA told Congress that
the CIA Information Act required that not less than once every 10 years, the Director of Central Intelligence review the operational files exemptions, then enforced, to determine whether such exemptions could be removed from any category of exempted files or portion of those files, and whether any new categories of files should be designated as exempt.
Only the first half of that sentence is true. The statute that governs these reviews, 50 U.S.C. Section 432, refers only to the removal of the operational file exemption based on, quote, historical value or other public interest, end quote. It says nothing about adding new designations.
Having misstated the law, the CIA proceeded to implement its own misrepresentation.
The agency did not remove any operational file exemptions at all. Instead, it added 23 new file category exemptions.
The CIA has the legal authority under the 1984 CIA Information Act to create new operational file designations at any time, but that is not the purpose of the decennial reviews, which were established by Congress specifically to correct and curtail prior designations that were no longer necessary or appropriate.
In this case, the corrective mechanism designed by Congress was defeated by the CIA.
The report of the second decennial review of the CIA operational file exemptions was transmitted to Congress on June 28th of 2005. It was publicly released in April 2006 in response to a Freedom of Information Act appeal from the Federation of American Scientists.
In the first decennial review of 1995, the operational file exemption was removed from four file categories, and they were opened to FOIA requests.
If rigid and arbitrary secrecy were preconditions for a superior intelligence product, then advocates of greater openness would confront a dilemma. But we know that is not the case.
The CIA secrecy policy, as it exists today, is not a sign of vigor, but of decay.
In the latest sign of institutional turmoil at the agency, the editor of the somewhat respected CIA journal, Studies in Intelligence, has resigned, and so has the chairman of its editorial board. Quote, the most chilling aspect is that there are newly established editorial hurdles at the journal. Merit is no longer the sole criterion governing publication, end quote, wrote Max Holland, a sometime contributor to Studies.
The Department of Defense is seeking a broad new exemption from the Freedom of Information Act for unclassified information relating to weapons of mass destruction.
According to the proposed legislation, quote, examples of such information could include formulas and design descriptions of lethal and incapacitating materials, maps, designs, security or emergency response plans, and vulnerability assessments for facilities containing weapons of mass destruction materials, end quote.
The proposal is puzzling because most such information, including what is not classified, is already exempt from the FOIA. Meanwhile, some related categories of information that are not exempt should arguably remain public.
The draft DoD language, quote, is so broad as to potentially sweep everything related to any chemical facility into the exemption, end quote, said Meredith Fucus, general counsel at the National Security Archive. Quote, there is nothing in here that explicitly protects the public's need to know some things about these facilities. For example, violations of the law, lack of required certifications or licenses. End quote.
Furthermore, she said, the lack of a temporal limit on the withholdability of the information and the lack of any appeals mechanism creates a potential black hole.
She suggested that any such exemption should be more narrowly focused on what they actually are trying to protect, which I think is vulnerability information DOD learns of regarding private facilities.
During this month of April, the news that U.S. Archives had reclassification agreements with the CIA and the Air Force has also raised concern about the question of government secrecy.
The National Archives and Records Administration, NARA, released on April 17, 2006, a second newly declassified Memorandum of Understanding on the withdrawal of government records from its public collections.
In 2001 and 2002, NARA entered into two classified Memoranda of Understanding with the CIA and the Air Force, addressing their review of open records that, according to NARA's background information on this matter, may have been inadvertently or improperly declassified because one or more agencies did not have an opportunity to review the records for the classified information.
The classified Memoranda of Understanding also required the archives not to tell the public why records were being pulled from the shelves.
National Archivist Alan Weinstein said that he discovered the existence of the second Memorandum of Understanding, which was signed by the Central Intelligence Agency and NARA in October 2001, only on April 13, 2006, and that he immediately sought its declassification.
Another Memorandum of Understanding on document withdrawal, signed by the Air Force and the NARA in March 2002, was released in declassified form on April 10, 2006.
Until its recent discovery by researcher Matthew Aid, with the support of the National Security Archive, the document withdrawal activity at the National Archives has been conducted secretly, as if it were some kind of covert action.
The 2001 Memorandum of Understanding stated that it is in the interest of both the CIA and the National Archives and Records Administration to avoid the kind of public notice and researcher complaints that may arise from removing from the open shelves for extended periods of time records that have been publicly available.
The resulting firestorm of criticism that has been directed at the National Archives is absolutely fair, said archivist Weinstein in a meeting with historians and public interest groups.
He took responsibility for the affair, which originated prior to his appointment as archivist. More significantly, he repudiated the underlying practice.
There can never be a classified aspect of our mission, Weinstein said. Classified agreements are the antithesis of our reason for being. If records must be removed for reasons of national security, the American people will always, at the very least, know when it occurs and how many records are affected.
An audit of the document withdrawal program by the Information Security Oversight Office is expected to be released on April 26th.
Beyond the unwarranted secrecy of the document withdrawal program, a deeper problem concerns official policy on classification of historical records.
Since many of the withdrawn documents are publicly accessible elsewhere, their withdrawal provides the public a rare opportunity to evaluate current classification policy as practiced by executive branch agencies. It is not a very satisfactory picture.
One publicly available document that was modified by the Central Intelligence Agency in a revealing obtuse way was featured in a New York Times story published on April 16, 2006 by Scott Shane under the title, Why the Secrecy? Only the Bureaucrats Know.
This article explains that the question has arisen anew because of the discovery that military and intelligence agencies have pulled some 55,000 pages of decades-old documents from public access at the National Archives.
One document referred to by this article is a 1946 memorandum on the coordination between British and American intelligence services during World War II. The State Department has already published it in the multi-volume history, Foreign Relations of the United States, and it is also available on its website.
However, and following the Times article, what may seem to some an obvious historical fact struck a Central Intelligence Agency apparatchik in 2002 as a secret still worth protecting.
He redacted a sentence describing the close coordination of the Allies' spies from 1946 memorandum recounting war propaganda duties before approving its public release. For good measure, he also took out the number of American spies in 1946, 400 in the field and 216 in Washington, and the name of Brigadier General John Magruder, then the intelligence chief.
Alan Weinstein, archivist of the United States, proceeded to recount what he knew about a secretive program he said he had first learned about from a newspaper article, but then he too hit a wall of secrecy.
Mr. Weinstein said part of the reclassification effort was guided by a written agreement between the National Archives and a component of the Defense Department. Mr. Weinstein couldn't say just what component or what was in the agreement because, quote, It contains classified information, which I am not prepared to discuss in open session, end quote.
This prompted an exasperated Representative Harry A. Waxman of California to ask, why is it classified?
To which Mr. Reinstein forlornly replied, I don't know.
Director of Central Intelligence Agency Porter J. Goss invoked the state secrets privilege last month to block litigation filed against the CIA and another U.S. government agency.
The likely effect is to terminate the case, for reasons that the CIA director said cannot be explained on the public record.
After deliberation and personal consideration, I have determined that the basis for my assertion of the state secrets privilege cannot be filed on the public court record or in any sealed filing accessible to the plaintiffs or their attorneys without revealing the very information that I seek to protect, Director Goss stated in an unclassified March 16th declaration.
Little is known about the case. Even the identity of one of the government agencies that is a defendant in the suit has been withheld from disclosure. What is known is that last September, attorney Mark S. Zaid filed a lawsuit on behalf of an anonymous plaintiff, Jane Doe, and three minors, alleging violations of the Privacy Act, the Administrative Procedures Act, the U.S. Constitution, in this country and abroad.
A copy of the severely redacted complaint is available on the Project on Government Secrecy webpages of the Federation of American Scientists website.
The government defended its assertion of the state secrets privilege and moved for dismissal of the case in a March 29, 2006 memorandum of law, also available on the FAS website.
Use of the state secrets privilege in courts has grown significantly over the last 25 years, wrote William G. Weaver and Robert M. Polito in a study of the Privilege in Political Science Quarterly last year.
Recent use of the state secrets privilege shows a tendency on the part of the executive branch to expand the privilege to cover a wide variety of contexts, they found.
This information has been provided by the Project on Government Secrecy of the Federation of American Scientists.
This program has been produced by Radio News Corps with the collaboration of the Shell Center for International Human Rights at Yale Law School and edited and post-produced at the studios of our European office in Belgium on April 27, 2006.
You've been listening to Radio News Corps.